All right, now we are back on this Friday morning with some heavy snow still falling. Going to be falling until about 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon. Still 33 degrees. It actually has not changed the temperature reading. About 31 to 33 degrees all morning long, so that is a good thing. But you never know. We're still some treacherous driving out there. Just be careful. At least there's no school buses out there, so schools are closed this morning. All right, meteorologist Jim Corbin is going to join us in just a few moments as he gives us the latest update on the forecasts for us. But right now in studio, you probably remember this name, John Davis. He was a former city councilor, and he is with us this morning. Good morning, John.
Hi, Dominic. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. John Davis is back with us today. Yes, glad to have you here. And got a lot of other things going on in your life. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But before we get into the meat of the show, a little bit of background on who John Davis is. A lot of people still remember you as well.
Sure. Well, I've lived here in Attleboro my whole life. When I was about 20, I started a small business here in the community and was fairly successful for about 20 years. I spent a significant amount of time in city government. I was on our planning board, and I chaired our charter review committee, and then I spent 8 years as a city councilman. My political career ended 8 years ago when I ran for mayor and was defeated by Mayor Dumas. Since then, I've been doing mostly nonprofit volunteer-type work, and as well as starting a home repair business that I run now.
Yeah, with this home repair thing, this business that you started recently, when you were here a couple of weeks ago talking to me, that you said you you hire a lot of local people, professionals out there as well.
Absolutely. What I found is that there are a lot of skilled craftsmen out there, good carpenters and plumbers and electricians and people that know how to do the actual handy work, but they don't have necessarily the business skills to coordinate and to find the business. So what I've done is I've tried to reach out to some of those people I know and work together as a team. And it's been quite successful. The last few weeks we've started to get an awful lot of work. People out there, they're hesitant about letting people into their home to do work. In this day and age, you want to know that you can trust people. And one of the advantages I have is that most people know who I am. People know that I'm someone who can be trusted and that I only work with other people who likewise I know firsthand can be trusted. And we do good quality work, and it's really starting to pay off.
Yeah, and you actually ran a business next door to us here on Union Street for many years as well.
I owned a company called Connolly Gold Stamping. We did gold foil stamping and embossing, basically putting names and logos on products and packaging. And at one point, truthfully, we were one of the top companies at that in all of North America. I was shipping products all over the world. But unfortunately, about a dozen years ago, all that work started going to China. And, it was hard to get customers to pay me a certain amount when they could get it for half that or eventually a third of that from China. Sort of had to reinvent myself in midlife. I had committed 20 years of my life to becoming really good at doing something, and then it was sort of taken away.
But it was also good that you stayed local, which is good because a lot of the places had, all these other places, Balfour had left here and stuff like that, but you were still local and you were committed to staying here in the city.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've lived here my whole life. As I said, 8 years ago after I lost the race for mayor, a lot of people encouraged me, why don't you go to Boston, take a job in Boston or do something outside of Attleboro. And that's just not me. I've always lived here and I'm probably always going to live here.
That which is always good. Now, you were a ward counselor. You actually did two different wards.
I represented Ward 5 for 8 years. A couple of years ago, I actually ran to represent the new ward, Ward 3, that I live in. Council President Cook has been the Ward 3 councilman for, I believe it's 18 years now. And I don't believe that someone should hold public office in one position for that long a period of time. So, I ran against Frank, and we had a record low turnout, and Frank won, and that's how politics goes. I wasn't disappointed in losing. I was really disappointed in how few people came out to vote. It does make a difference who represents you.
And Ward 3 has always been one of those council, those wards that somehow they, you know, I mean, they have some great people in there, but sometimes it's a little tough to push. I know recently they were talking about sidewalks in the area as well.
Well, sidewalks is an issue that
it's
been going on in this city throughout the whole city for years and years. It was, you know, because we had, you know, we had a couple of decades there where we really didn't continue to expand and put in new sidewalks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's an awful lot of roads that are heavily traveled. I mean, sure. I live on Lindsay Street, and my wife says when she was a kid growing up there, there was hardly any traffic. Mm-hmm. Well, today, it's a main road. I mean, it's astounding how many cars zip by my house mm-hmm. every hour.
Yeah, that's a main thoroughfare now. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and yet there are no sidewalks on Lindsay Street.
That's right.
And I'd be willing to bet it'll be a decade before they see any.
I'm sure you're right. John Davis with us in studio. Right now, we're going to check in with meteorologist Jim Corbin and see how things are shaping up on this Friday. Jim?
Well, John, things moving along on schedule. We've noted the winds pick up over the last hour. That's kind of blowing off some clumps of snow off the trees and the wires, so you want to watch out for that. The light to moderate snow continues across the area. Still raining on the Cape. Cold, rotten rain down at Hyannis right now, 38 degrees. But even there, it's going to change over to snow. We'll have 4 to 6 inches of snow, mostly off the pavement. Temperatures today holding steady, right around 32, a wet snow. Good for snowballs for the kids later on today. Tonight, clearing out, falling down into the mid-teens. And then a really good weekend. Good news, mostly sunny, a high in the mid to upper 30s, high in the low 40s on Sunday. Next week, a different story, a threat of more stormy weather by Tuesday.
All right. Sounds good, Jim. All right. We will talk to you in about 30 minutes or so.
All right.
All right, Jim. All right. John Davis with us this morning, just kind of discussing, you know, some of his other stuff that he's going on with. It recently was your anniversary.
That's right. February 2nd was my 8th anniversary. Nice. With my wife, Kathy. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how, you know, we got married at St. Joseph's Church and how the church was literally packed. You know, I don't think you could fit any more people in there. And my wife and I were talking about the other day about all the different people that we've known throughout our life who were there for that day, several of whom who have passed away right. since then. But it was really, you know, quite an experience. Actually, the wedding is up on YouTube, and people have been telling me about how they've been watching it, yeah. and all the faces in the
and
crowd.
And you didn't realize it was up there.
Yeah, I didn't realize until recently that it was actually up there on YouTube, and it's, you know, quite an interesting memory.
And your wife, Kathy, the former Kathy Davis, was also in a little bit of politics before you married her as well.
Yeah, she is Kathy Davis. She was Kathy Kelly.
That's right, yeah. Kathy. That's right. That's, yep. that's right. That's
yep. Kathy, she was a legislative assistant for John Leper at
right.
the State House. When John was first elected, he asked her to come and work for him, and she did that for a while, and then she left, and at the end of his career, she went back to help him for the last 6 months when he was wrapping up mm-hmm. his time at the State House. She also, you know, worked in Boston for the Massachusetts Catholic Conference.
Mm-hmm.
She was basically the political liaison for the Catholic Church in Massachusetts. So she's spent a lot of time working at the State House. And
yeah, and she's, very well known, very well liked here in mm-hmm. you know, throughout the area as well as you are as well. You know, when you were a ward counselor, you also had a lot of issues with your own committees. What did you chair for when you were doing the wards?
I was actually the Human Services Committee chairman, which is something that I enjoyed because it encompasses, you know, education, the health department, you know, just those two city departments alone affect so many people mm-hmm. in so many ways. And, you know, I enjoyed the connection with dealing with the school department as far as school-related issues. Ward 5, which is essentially what we refer to as the east side of Attleboro, is probably the most diverse, both ethnically and economically diverse ward. And I really enjoyed all the different people that I got to meet, many of whom I had known since I was a little
sure.
kid and went to school here at Richardson School.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a tremendous number of people I met who were new to Attleboro, and it was quite an experience.
Yeah, and that's a good point that you said that, you know, being in this area myself for a little over 30 years working in this area, and, you know, you get a lot of great people, especially here on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
There's a nice diversity. You know, I remember years ago, 30-some-odd years ago, when they redid all those old Pine Street homes
right.
Down by the East Side Playground. but you've got a lot of people that are still there. You've got our good buddy Cliff Danu and his mom and dad still living on Pine Street. Right. It's nice because Cliff only has to go walk across the street to go to the rec center.
I believe Cliff's been here his whole life, as long as I've known him my whole life, and that's the only place I know that they've ever lived. But you're right. Back in the 80s, Billy Ward and Ed Bailey from WB Construction rehabbed a tremendous number of homes on the east side that allowed, you know, the quality of living for a lot of people to be improved through the Redevelopment Authority. When Bill Spanner was heading up the Redevelopment Authority, you know, Bill was a guy who really worked hard, and, you know, some people liked him and some people didn't, but he was a guy who I think had the public's best intentions at heart and really was very successful in rehabbing what, you know, in the 70s had been a lot of very, very rundown multifamily homes. Yeah. In the span of a decade, Bill had helped to turn most of them around.
I got to know Bill for a long time. Is he still with us now?
No, he passed away.
He passed away. All right. Yeah, I always remember him, especially with the housing here on Pine Street. I remember seeing pictures and video that I took of him years back. Always, you know, right in the background with Judy Robbins and a lot of other people down there. Always a very influential gentleman, a nice guy, very down to earth, and had the city's interests at heart. He was a very hard worker. And of course, you know, being, as you said, another person that comes to mind when I think about this area, another good friend of ours, Bill Dunleavy, who still lives on Pearl Street, has been there for a number of years.
Yep. Last Friday, Bill and I had lunch together. We hadn't seen each other in a while. Mm-hmm. And absolutely. It's people like Bill Dunleavy and Bill Spanner and these people who work behind the scenes that make our community what it is. Yeah, I mean, you always see a few elected officials and a few people in the newspaper, but the people who really get things done and make our community what it is are sort of the unsung heroes that you know, you and I are familiar with, but the average person on the street might not even recognize.
Yeah.
Which sort of leads me to the television program that I've created. It's called People It's Good to Know. And it's based on the premise that, you know, when I was a kid, if you had a problem, you knew who in town to go to deal with that. But today, you know, our community is much bigger. A lot of people haven't lived here their whole life, so they don't know everybody. You could have a problem. A guy who lives two or three doors down from you could be the guy in the city in charge of fixing that kind of a problem. And you might not even know who he is. So what I've done is I've been bringing on a guest each week who's someone who I feel is influential and can help people. And it allows the public to become a little more familiar with some of these people who maybe they've heard of, maybe they haven't. But, you know, they can put a name with a face and learn a little bit about them and what they can, you know, what they can do possibly to help them.
Your first show, you had City Councilor Heather Parrica.
Heather Parrica.
You went through a lot of other people. Now, I think you're about five or six shows ahead of it now?
Absolutely. I think we're airing the fifth one now, and I've got about five more that have already been taped. You know, we play once a week. It plays on, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday nights at 7:30. And then it's on a couple more times during the week, like in the middle of the night.
Right.
So it plays for a week, and then it goes online so that you could go back and look at previous episodes if you wanted to. What's amazed me is the number of people who have approached me, like at the supermarket, and said, "Hey, I saw you on TV." Mm-hmm. And it's nice to know that people do actually watch WACS.
Yeah.
You know, it's good, because I can remember when the station when the local cable access was created. And I thought it had incredible potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're really starting to see some of that. That it's a way of reaching the general public in a way that maybe in the past wasn't available.
Now, the funny thing, when you just said that, it went back to my a mind that I said, just a kind of a funny thing when it says, "Oh, I just saw you on TV." Can you imagine if some of these people said, "I just saw you on TV. How long have you been a city councilor?" You know, they remember it 20 years ago.
There are people. Now, again, I haven't been a city councilman now in 8 years, but I would say at least once or twice a month, someone will approach me with a problem who thinks I'm still a councilman.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's nice that they come to me and think that I can help, but it shows that, you know, even people who are relatively well-informed don't necessarily know who represents them or who to turn to.
Yeah, I did that. I mean, I knew some of the people in this area who they retired from the city council or the school committee, and they'll say, you know, and they get approached, you know, in their convenience store or their supermarket and say, you know, I got a problem with this or I got that. And then I have to remember who it was now offhand. Who said that, and this was going back a while. Oh, it was Jerry Keane and Ray Macomber.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the store with him when they were still with us, and one of the stores, and I happened to see him, and there they were, their wives, they were shopping, and all of a sudden, one of the people was saying, hey, I got a thing, I got this and that. Can you bring it to the council? And he said, well, I haven't been on the council in 15, 20 years, you know, and like, oh, I just saw you on television last night. Like, you know, that was 20 years ago, you know. But you still get that. But but it was nice that they recognized them and they remember them. In fact, I remember Ray Macomber was saying to someone with the wife was saying, he was telling the wife, he says, you know, this is the person that you want to check out. If you want more information, I can help you with it. Right. That actually happened back in the 90s when former mayor Tommy Pigott was here. Tommy passed away a few years ago, but Tommy, a great guy. I only met him a couple of times when they did all of the city of Attleboro, you know, former mayors coming back
to
the city
hall. That was a night. That was a really great experience. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I still have people approach me almost every day wanting advice as to who should I talk to, how should I go about doing this. It's you know, you mentioned former Mayor Keane and former Mayor Macomber, both of whom were good friends of mine. But Jerry Keane was really, you know, one of my mentors, along with, you know, Kay Shang and Judy Robbins. The three of them were people that, you know, I spent about 15 years spending all my free time trying to learn from them. I mean, Jerry was right here in this building when he was heading up the Chamber of Commerce, and my company was right next door. You know, anytime I had a few free minutes, I would stop in, and he would always be willing to share some, you know, some knowledge and some experience and some really funny stories about things that happened over the years in government.
Yeah, it was a great guy. Almost, when you see some of these people, they were almost like larger than life. You know, and as you said, you know, you worked with former Mayor Kay Shang as well. You know, Kay was always the guy, you know, that you would see, you know, he always get down and dirty with stuff. You know, he would be right there with the people. You know, many of the times, a lot of the heads of this, the city would actually go, well, you almost had to do that when you, like, broke ground or something like that. And I remember one time, whenever they were breaking ground at something, he was looking for a hard hat, and they didn't have one, you know, and they were all the same size. And Kay said, well, in fact, I remember him saying, well, my head is five times larger than anyone else, as you were saying. And former director, DPW director Hushain Kamrahi, which was a great, great friend of mine. I think he's still in real estate now.
I believe so.
And both Hushi and Kay Shang were both together at this event, and I was videotaping it. And I remember that Kay Shang was saying to Hushi, he was saying, my do you have another hat? You have another hat? He said, these are the only same size. I'm like, well, no. My head's way too big to this one. And it just made everybody laugh so much. I'm like, but that's the kind of guy he was. He was a local. He always said he was a local guy.
Absolutely. Kay was one of my best friends for many, many years. I mean, he was an East Sider. I knew him from when I was a little kid. And again, he was a great mentor to me. I learned a lot about government, and I learned a lot about life and people from him. And I think he was sometimes people are underrated in their own community or own neighborhood. I would travel around with Kay a lot, you know, we'd go to Boston or go to other political meetings outside of Attleboro. Everybody knew who he was. He stood out in the crowd. You know, he was a memorable individual. You met Kay once, and if you ever bumped into him again, you remembered who he was.
Yeah, for many years he ran before he was mayor. You know, running the laundry company, the laundry the land is where Domino's is on County, and then he had his old business is where London's used to be, right here in downtown.
Yeah, Kay ran a number of businesses. Yeah. I mean, he was a young guy who grew up with very little and made so much by working hard. I mean, he was one of those guys who worked night and day behind the scenes, didn't draw a lot of attention to himself, at least in his business days. Once he became a political figure, then it was all about drawing attention. But he, you know, he had several successful businesses in his life. And I think he was a guy who's a good example of what you can do if you're truly motivated. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, it's that whole generation, if you think about it, they call that World War II the greatest generation.
Right.
There were so many guys that when I was first getting into politics, I met, you know, guys like Jerry Keane and Ray McCumber and, you know, Shang and Judy Robbins and Frank Gillen and, mm-hmm. you know, there were, and John, former counsel John Parker.
Oh, yeah.
These guys were people who basically committed their whole lives to public service in one way, shape, or form. And again, some people might like them, some people may hate them, but they were truly committed to doing what they thought was best in the best interest of the public. Mm-hmm. And it made them into very interesting, dynamic figures.
Yeah, and as we're going to take a quick break right here. I want to ask you some other questions about when you were on city council back then, some of the people who actually, other these people who actually also influenced you as well.
Absolutely.
All right, John Davis. Hey, if you want to, if you know John Davis, and if you don't know him, you want to get to know him on the phone lines, we should, you can, you don't mind talking to a couple of people.
Oh, I'd
hopefully.
Love to do that.
508-222-1320 is our phone number if you want to contact John Davis here. He'd love to talk to you as well, so stay with us.
Sturdy Memorial Hospital will hold its annual Heart Health Fair in conjunction with National Wear Red Day to raise awareness for heart disease prevention in women. This informative event will be held on Friday, February the 5th from 7 till 10:30 a.m. in conference rooms A, B, and C at the hospital located on Park Street in Attleboro. This event will feature health screenings, general health information, exercise information, samples of heart-healthy food, refreshments, and so much more. For more information, call 508-236-8020.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah, forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Hmm, cool. I didn't know that.
Yep, but the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow. That's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The Rehoboth Garden Club will welcome herbalist Bonnie Cavanaugh to present an enlightening program called Kitchen Cupboard Medicine, using spices from A to Z. This event will be held on Monday, February 8th at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Seekonk Public Library located on Newman Avenue. For more information, feel free to call the library at 508-336-8230.
The Walpole Brain Injury Support Group meets the second Wednesday of every month from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. The meetings take place in the community room of the Walpole Housing Authority at 8 Diamond Pond Terrace in Walpole. The support group is a forum for survivors and their loved ones where they can share information about their brain injury with a compassionate and understanding peer group. Before attending your first meeting, contact Joanne Soucy at 508-735-4756.
All right, we are back with you with former City Councilor John Davis, who actually now has a brand new cable TV show called People It's Good to Know. As you were mentioning, being a ward counselor at a young age, you still love politics. We know you still love politics. But a lot of the younger people out there like yourself who were on the council, you know, now you've got Mayor Kevin Dumas, who's think 39 now, I think. But he was just in Washington a couple of weeks ago with a lot of the other mayors across the city, across the state. Jaciel Correa, who's a 24-year-old new mayor of Fall River. And then I was mentioned to you off mic that for the last 10, 12 years, the youngest serving selectman in Rainham, Joe Pacheco, his first cousin was the police chief for a number of years. But here's a guy who was still a junior in high school, and he got elected as a selectman. And then a year later, or 2 years later, he was the chairman of the selectman. They only had three chair people in there. Now they have four. But you started as a young age getting into politics here in Attleboro as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think times have changed. You know, 25 years ago, I don't think it was as easy for young people to get elected. But as times have gone on, I think the public's realizing that no matter what age you are, everybody has something to contribute. Mm-hmm. And I see how young people in their 20s have a lot to contribute. They have a certain mindset that, you know, they're easier to adapt to new things. But also, I have a lot of respect for older people who run for office. You know, my good friend Frank Gillen tried to get reelected to the council at 80. And Frank had many years of experience and would have had a lot to offer if he hadn't came up a few votes short. Mm-hmm. So I can see how people who are in their early 20s have at least as much to offer, if not more in some ways, mm-hmm. as people who are in their 60s and 70s, who also have a different set of experiences and skill set to offer.
You know, when you were working at the city council, even before that, mm-hmm. you had some great people on there. You mentioned John Parker. Mm-hmm. John Parker, for many years did a great job with the council. But then you also had the older people, but you had not as old. Mm-hmm. You had people like. I'm drawing a blank right now.
You had a lot of good people that I have had the opportunity to serve with. Carolyn Tedino, yep. was the council president. Kate Jackson, who has now recently mm-hmm. been elected back to the city council. Kate is someone who I think has an awful lot to offer, and hopefully she'll do a great job serving the people. But there was a whole variety of people who came and went over the 8 years I was there. And in the years before I got elected, when I was, getting interested in government, you had guys like Bobby Travers,
yeah,
and Hank Sennett,
yeah, and like Brian Saborin too.
Yeah, I mean there's been so many people, because each and every one of them bring something. I mean the council is a group of 11 people mm-hmm. who need to work together in a collaborative manner, and of course that doesn't always happen, and that's probably been that way since the first day it was created. Yeah. But each of them brings certain life experiences and a certain mindset that contributes something. And each and every person there represents a certain segment of the public. Mm-hmm. they got elected for a reason, because people wanted them there to represent them. And see, I've always looked at public service, and especially elected office, as a wonderful thing to do if you're interested in continually learning. Because if you're doing a good job and you keep your eyes and ears open, every day is a learning experience when you're in public office, because of the number of people that approach you. In everyday life, if you want to learn something, you usually have to take some action. You have to reach out to something. But in government, people come to you. Uh-huh. And oftentimes with a lot of interesting stuff that you may never have heard of before and may never have heard of at all if it weren't for the fact that you're in office.
One other person that I'm thinking who was actually a long time, for a while he was on city council. I'm drawing a blank on his last name. This town crier, Larry.
Larry Fenton.
Larry Fenton, right.
Yep. Larry, I mean, maybe many people don't remember Larry now, but he was a councilman back, I believe, in the 50s and maybe into the 60s. I think he also may have served on the school committee uh-huh. at some point years ago. But Larry was someone who was an incredible historian about things, going way back into the late 30s. And, he's a person that I'm happy I had the opportunity to get to know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was an East Sider. He, lived right across from East Side Park. And, he never forgot where he came from. Mm-hmm. He was a guy who grew up on the East Side. And
Parker Street, right?
Yeah, I think Larry was, he must have been about 90 when he passed away. Yeah. And yet he was still active at attending public events on a regular basis.
Yeah, and one other thing about Larry Fitton, you know, I mean, now, of course, the former post office named the front room named after him, of course, which Ted Sharon actually did a nice portrait of him some, a few years back. But one thing I always remember about Larry Fitton is, you know, even into his late mid-80s, always marching up into the parade with the bell ringing. But one other thing that I remember back in the 80s and early 90s, he also had another persona. Look at the clown. He was a he was a clown performer.
Oh, yes. Well.
And he said, and he would say, "Look it, like look at what? That's my name. Look it, L O O K I T. Look at the clown." And some people, you know, we knew who he was, and he actually did a couple of things at the playground here in Attleboro.
Yeah, he also did that at the Wednesday night market.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny because people remember Larry as being all dressed up in this sort of 17th century. Uniform, for lack of a better word.
Right.
And that came about because Mayor Shang and him went down to Philadelphia to have some tailor custom make that outfit for him. I mean, think about that. These two guys drove down to Pennsylvania so that they could make this outfit so that he could come back to Attleboro and, you know, attend all these different events dressed up as a town crier would have, you know, 250 years ago.
Yeah, ringing the bell all the time, and he cherished that bell.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, and the other thing is what I wanted to get into is when you were on city council, some of the people that were there, you mentioned a few of them. Who are some of the standing city councilors and some of the former city councilors that you actually emulated, you know, that you grew up, you know, watching, you know, as a councilor? You know, you weren't even a councilor then. Now you got elected. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I want to be like that person.
You know, the truth is sometimes the people that we most want to emulate end up being people who become our rivals in the future.
Right.
Mayor Robbins was both a mentor to me. She was also my opponent for mayor in 1997. She appointed me to the planning board. She then appointed me to head up city charter committee. And after I ran against her, you know, she still continued to be my friend and mentor me right to the end. And the sad part was, I'd been saying lately for a long time that I should stop and someday talk to Judy and thank her for all the things that she had done for me over the years. And unfortunately, she was tragically killed in an accident before I was able to really thank her for all that she did. Today, you know, as I said before, I had, you know, three or four really close friends who were former mayors that I could learn from. Today, really, there's only one living former mayor. So a young person like me interested in government today it's not possible to have the sort of mentoring and education from previous people that I was fortunate and really think that's made the difference as to, you know, why I have such a, you know, extensive knowledge of political history in Attleboro.
Speaking of political history, you're talking about the new show that you've got. You've had, as I said, Heather Parikh was on, and some of the other people that you've actually had on in the past.
I've had Councillor Julie Hall. I've had Councillor Jeremy Denley. I've had Jack Lank from the Chamber of Commerce. I've had Irene Fichette from the Council of Churches. I'm not sure what other ones have aired yet.
Well, I was lucky enough to be to be on that show hasn't been aired yet, but and also this, what you would, when we were here a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about this, what you want to do is, as you said, get people to know who some of these people are behind the scenes. Like you had mentioned to me before, people who do like these nonprofit agency people out there, or people who you don't even, you know, they're not in the limelight. But you, then last night I was over at City Hall for a little while for the Youth Commission, and I noticed about a dozen people. They were leaving at the time, and then I was over there on Wednesday night for some other events as well. But I noticed about a dozen or so people that, who are these people? Like, you know, and these people, you know, are brand new people. They've probably been, you know, in this, in government now for about 5-10 years, mm-hmm. or some people are brand new because there's always jobs on the City of Attleboro's website. But some of these people, like, all right, Gary Arajan has been there from God knows how long, you know, but people that, like, who's this? You know, and it's kind of like that way from even on the police and fire department, yeah. because the older people now,
transition.
Yeah, there's that transition.
Well, as we talked about, like, in elected office, is that there are always new, younger people coming along.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I visit City Hall now, I always see a couple of new faces that I don't know. And oftentimes, they don't know me. Oftentimes, I've been surprised, though, when some of these younger people actually know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of, you can't help but get a chuckle out of that.
Yeah.
When someone you don't know approaches you and knows you by name, sometimes it makes me feel bad. It makes me think, maybe I should know them, yeah. but I don't.
Two people who have, one passed away and one is still with us. Very, very nice lady who passed away not too long ago, Susie Flood,
mm-hmm.
Former clerk for the City of mm-hmm. Attleboro. And the other person, you know, they'll say, like, who's that? You know, Hope Clark was yeah. another person who was the administrative assistant for the council. Yeah. Worked diligently. I mean, she would leave that City Hall sometime 8-9 o'clock at night.
Right. One of the things that I've said before on TV and on radio is that people have to realize that you elect individuals to hold public office, but it's a lot of the staff people behind the scene who really make things happen.
Yeah.
You know, Hope Clark, you know, a lot of the councilors in the, you know, 80s and 90s who, you know, appeared to be doing a great job servicing the public. She was the one doing all the running around behind the
yep.
scene, making sure all the paperwork was right. I mean, government is very bureaucratic. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of formality to doing things legally. And someone like Hope would spend all her day making sure that when your time came to do your part, the voting, or that you had all your paperwork in line and everything was prepared. And I think she's someone, both her and Sue Flood, and there's a whole number, you know, Linda Alger,
uh-huh.
there's a whole number of people who, you know, behind the scenes, even my wife, when my wife worked for John Lepa,
uh-huh.
You know, those are the people that really get the work done.
Yeah, you're right. And the other person I was thinking of, I saw this gentleman just a couple of months ago, former police chief Rick Pierce. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I've known Rick and his family, his wife Cindy and his family there for a number of years. The funny thing is, we were at inside City Hall, inside the Elks, for Linda Alger's retirement party,
mm-hmm.
and there was I'm trying to think of the police officer who just retired. I can't think of
it. Brillon?
What's that?
Brillon?
Yes, Jerry Brillon. Not Jerry Brillon. That's the son. Art Brillon, yes. Mm-hmm. Jerry is the cousin. But Art was event was outside. So at the end, when we were all finished inside, my wife and I and a few other people went outside to give him his congratulations. And happened to see a lot of the people, the same police officers there. And Rick comes over to me and he says, I can't believe some of these officers have no idea who I am. And it's like, it's amazing. They will know former Chief Rolly Saborin's name.
Mm-hmm.
But Rick Pierce, who was after him, who was a captain and then became the chief, and because he said there was about 4 or 5 officers who are still currently on the force now. And so, like, who's this guy?
You
know, like, I said, oh my God, you don't know Rick Pierce.
And the thing is, I think part of that is because Rick was a very effective chief.
Very.
He didn't draw attention to himself. He was the guy behind the scenes who made sure that the force worked appropriately mm-hmm. and that things got done. Now, Rolly, who I also consider to be a friend of mine,
very.
You know, he was a more dynamic
mm-hmm.
kind of guy who, he walked in the room and everyone knew he was in the room. So it's sort of a different. I think it's a difference in personalities. Some people everybody remembers. Other people who may have been just as effective or more so maybe are people who just sort of are in the back of the room and people don't often they don't stand out.
Yeah, and you go, you're back into that. Producer here at AACS, Emily Johnson. Was of course her sister, Rolly mm-hmm. Saborin's sister, and I remember that one of the many times that Chief Saborin never wanted to be on camera or be interviewed a lot of times, so he'd ask some other people to do it. But I remember one time that he was very comfortable with me, with cable, the radio, and inland cable. So he had called me into his office one time, and he says, "I'm ready to talk. Like, okay. He says, and no word of a lie, he says, wear your winter coat. It's August. Wear your winter coat. I walked in. It was like 30 degrees up in the office. It was just like, oh, my God. I says, Rolly, is this always the way? He says, yes, I like it cold. I don't care. It's 30 degrees in here. Like, but it's like, you know, like, okay, it's 80 degrees. Or in the middle of the winter, we'd go over there. It's like, wow, it's like almost as cold. Yep. It's almost like an ice rink in this place. But there's another guy who did a lot of great work for the city.
Absolutely. He absolutely did. And his wife, Sarah Reynolds, is now a city councilwoman again. You know, I remember I first met her when I went to Rolly's house in 97 when I was running for mayor the first time. And Rolly and his wife spent about an hour. He spent about an hour lecturing me how some young kid shouldn't be mayor. And Sarah spent an hour saying, Rolly, take it easy, take it easy. And I enjoyed it because he shared a lot of important information with me. And he made the point of, when you're in a leadership role, you've got to be able to take it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't handle some guy giving you a hard time for an hour, you certainly don't have what it takes to run a community. Mm-hmm. And I've always appreciated everything both Sarah and Rolly did for me.
Yeah, and I always remember being over their house. They had a tree house in the back of their yard, where he and at least two or three times, he would actually invite me to the house with my DJ equipment to go up in the tree when he had a backyard thing. He actually helped me take my equipment up this 20-foot tree, and because he was up there, and Rolly would, most of the time, he'd stay up there most of the time because he loved it, you know. But he says, I have a great place for you to do the music. I'm like, where? Like, how about up in the treehouse? Like, up in the treehouse? Yeah, put your board up there and then put your two speakers down below. I said, okay, why not? And we, after the party was over, we were out there for like another 2-3 hours until 2 or 3 in the morning and just enjoying each other's company. Yeah. And this is exactly the way he always was.
Well, I mean, Rolly was one of those, you know, one of those old South Attleboro people who were very neighborly.
And knew everybody.
You know, exactly. You know, I mean, it's, you know, South Attleboro, in the past, a lot of people would say, well, you know, South Attleboro thinks they're their own community.
Yeah, right.
But it partly was because they were so well connected to each other. They may have felt they had more in common than they did with the other side of the city, but I don't think that was a terrible thing. You know, I mean, it's, you know, we talked about Art Brillon his family. I mean, I'm not even sure how many aunts and uncles and cousins he has down there, but there were a couple dozen.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody was connected, and there's a lot of positive to be said about neighborhoods that all stick together in some way.
Really, really. You're right. Absolutely right. All right. We've got meteorologist Jim Corbin on the air with us once again for our final update on the forecast, at least in this portion of the show. Jim?
Well, Don, we're averaging about 2.5 inches of snow now, with a slightly less to the east where the rain has been holding longer, and a little more to the west. And we're still headed for about 4 to 6 inches of snow. Again, it's a wet snow. It sticks to the tree, the wires, clumps of snow fall down. So just be careful of that. Visibilities have been down to about 3/4 of a mile. Haven't had any heavy snow yet, but moderate at times. Then tonight we'll have clearing skies, falling down to about 16 by morning. And it looks like a pretty good weekend. Mostly sunny, highs in the mid to upper 30s. If you're a skier around southern New England, you might want to check it out this weekend. It looks great, of course, with the natural snow coming right now. Sunday, low 40s, and then it looks like a few snow flurries on Monday, a better chance at a storm on Tuesday, and of course that is something that friends up in New Hampshire will be monitoring, because it could affect the election up there if there's a snowstorm on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, a bit of a break, and then it looks like more snow possible Thursday of next week.
All right. Sounds good, Jim. So after everything is all said and done with, once again, what are you looking at as far as inches out there?
Well, again, the roadways are warm from the last couple of days, so we're not seeing a lot of accumulation on roadways, even untreated. But off the pavement, I think, again, about 4 to 6 inches of snow by about 2-3 o'clock this afternoon.
Well, it's not too bad out there. I mean, as we said earlier this morning, it started changing over just around 5 o'clock this morning anyways.
Still raining on the Cape, where they have not had any snow yet, just about past the canal. But even there, they'll have at least about 2 or 3 inches. So everyone gets a taste of winter today. Next weekend, not this weekend, I think some of the coldest weather that we had since last winter could be arriving right around Valentine's Day.
All right. We'll try to shake off that Punxsutawney Phil out because of the screw up that he did the other day.
Right. Throw him back in the hole.
Throw him back in the ground.
All right. All right. Have a good one. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it.
I mean, on Monday.
You got it, Jim. All right. Thanks once again. All right. John Davis is with us for a bit. Paul Healy is going to be here at the top of the hour. We're going to take one last break and be back with John Davis with us for a few moments more here on 1320.
Sturdy Memorial Hospital will hold its annual Heart Health Fair in conjunction with National Wear Red Day to raise awareness for heart disease prevention in women. This informative event will be held on Friday, February the 5th from 7 till 10:30 a.m. in conference rooms A, B, and C at the hospital located on Park Street in Attleboro. This event will feature health screenings, general health information, exercise information, samples of heart-healthy food, refreshments, and so much more. For more information, call 508-236-8020.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
The Rehoboth Garden Club will welcome herbalist Bonnie Cavanaugh to present an enlightening program called Kitchen Cupboard Medicine, using spices from A to Z. This event will be held on Monday, February 8th at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Seekonk Public Library located on Newman Avenue. For more information, feel free to call the library at 508-336-8230.
All right, back with John Davis here in studio until 10 o'clock this morning. Paul Healy going to be here at the top of the hour. Boy, we've already been almost an hour already, John. I'm like, where the heck has this time gone?
It is amazing how fast time goes when you're doing, you know, either TV or radio. Mm-hmm. But there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you and I have almost a 30-year history of doing this. Before I forget, I'd like to thank you and, you know, the late Art Chase and some of the people who helped me to do TV and radio stuff over the years. I mean, with my political experiences, we did a lot of commercials. Mm-hmm. You know, we did a lot of, informative little five-minute segments. And, I couldn't have done that, and I certainly couldn't have done it nearly as well without the help of you and Art and many others who, I don't mean to not name, but we could be here all day.
Yeah, when we were, we were that small little cable system when we were Inland Cable back on the fourth and fifth floor of the Bronson Building. And that's, that was one of how I really got into television is because of that. And then I, with the radio station as well. Back then, the radio and the television station was a commercial station. You know, they would go out in there and solicit ads for different people. Roberts Ford, one of our biggest supporters for years, was that. But and the way you said that, there was a lot of people, in other words, like behind the scenes as well. Art Chase, sports, and then behind the scenes as salesperson. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like that, But you had people like that, and you still have those people nowadays, as you mentioned, here on in the East Side, around all the way to South Attleboro. Doesn't matter where you go. One other person, now, when you were city councilor, the mayor was at the time.
Well, I served two terms with Judy Robbins as mayor, and I served two terms with Kevin Dumas as mayor.
And going back to that day, you had some influence on they had influence on you as well, but a lot of these other communities which don't have mayors, like I know North Attleboro wanted to try that this past year. Now they've got the selectmen. Here's another person in North Attleboro, Pat Reynolds, who was a high school senior when he became. Now here's a guy who started as a young age, wanted to become, and now he is, he sits on the city as selectman in North Attleboro. But here's a guy who wanted to do it as 16, 17-year-old kid.
Right. I met him a year or two before he ran for selectman. He volunteered on a statewide campaign, going around door to door, handing out leaflets for other candidates, which is oftentimes how a lot of people in government. I mean, the first time I ever worked on a campaign was It was either 1978 or 1980. Hmm. I went around before school handing out flyers door to door for Margaret Heckler,
who was our
council, our congresswoman from Wellesley at the time. Wellesley and Attleboro were in the same congressional district, and I was a young kid, and Mike McGahan, the lawyer here in town, said to me, "John, you think maybe you got a few hours before school for a couple of weeks you can go around?" And I said, "Mike, sure, for you. Glad to help you out."
Yeah, you mentioned Peg Heckler because Peter Altmaier was a very a big influence on her as well. They were very good friends, and Peg used to come to the studio back in 1984 for many, many times. We met her numerous times on different, you know, the station, the the programs that were back then between 84 and 85. But now, did you ever, you never worked with Brenda Reed, did you?
No, actually, I went to school with her son, and I know her, and her husband, her ex-husband, and my dad were friends years ago. But no, I never had any real interaction with her. I've probably only spoken to her two or three times.
Yeah, I know after she got out of the politics, I want to say that she was living in Mansfield for a while. But she was a person that I remember... where I think she was, she wasn't mayor very long. I know
one term.
That's right. Because Kay actually beat her, right? The next election.
Yeah,
was
yeah. She, her and Kay ran against each other, and she won. And then Kay came back and beat her 2 years, 2 years later, which shows you how, you know, political fortunes can change in a moment's notice.
Yeah.
You just
One event that I do remember working with Brenda Reed was, I think it was Hurricane Gloria that when she was there, because she had come to the studio when we were on the fourth floor, and she declared that the city was going to be kind of closed, and the only way that you could actually get out was passes that you had to get from, you know, who the heck ran it? Bill Rawlinson. When Bill Rawlinson ran the civil defense. And I had gotten, because I had to, it was on a Thursday or a Friday, I think it was, and I had to get back to where I was living in Providence at the time, and I had to come back the following morning. Yeah, it was a Friday. It had to go to a Saturday. We had to come back to be on the station. But unfortunately, downtown was out of power. So we ended up having, I had to go to the North Attleboro transmitter site to redo the whole show, because we had a generator there so we could go on the air. And everything from our show, from the Saturday and Sunday, was all on reel to reel. So I had to produce a couple of days prior all the religious programming that we had on Sunday. And then a police officer saw me going from Attleboro to North Attleboro, and I had a sign that said Bill Rawlinson, the civil defense. He says, and he's like, and he says, "Oh, you're from WARA." So he's like, "Yeah, how did he say it to me?" He says, "I know you." He's like, "And I've only was at the studio for maybe only less than a year." And he says, "You're on 8 to Midnight, aren't you?" I'm like, "Yeah." Like, we're doing our show from the transmitter at Falls Pond, which is still is there now. But the funny thing is, make a long story short, is back then you had people who knew people. You knew the people back then. You know, nowadays, you know, you get somebody here like, "Who's this guy?" But you had some people who, you know, Wally Cryan, you know, did back in the 60s. You had some of these early people that went on to fame later on.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in so many ways, there have been so many people from our community who have had incredible success, not just in media, but in business and in sports and in almost every field you can think of. There's somebody from Attleboro who's gone on to be, you know, to be well known. But when you get directly to media, I mean, you got people like Glenn Laxton, and I'm sure you could rattle off a whole bunch of names from when you first started, people that I may not even know all that well. But Attleboro is a community with a lot of gifted, skilled people. And I think we don't give ourselves enough credit sometimes.
You know, and I'm glad you said that again, because I do want to, in the last few moments of the show, tell the people once again that it's exactly what your premise of this new cable show is you're doing as well. Tell the people again, you know, why you wanted to put this thing together.
Right. Well, simply, in the old days, if you had a problem or you had a concern, you knew who to go to help you. In this day and age, you know, our community has grown, and a lot of people maybe didn't grow up here, so they're not as knowledgeable on who's who. I wanted to put on together a show where people become more familiar with the people behind the scenes or some of the people in front of the cameras who make things happen. And I call it, you know, people it's good to know. And so I, you know, every week we'll be interviewing someone who I think has, you know, skills that are valuable to the community that it would be good for the, you know, general public to become familiar with. And so far, it's been incredibly well received. I've been amazed at the number of people who have told me that they've seen it. And, you know, when I first started creating the idea, I had to line up candidates. And the first few people were sort of, okay, I'll do it. Now I got people calling me who want to be on the show. Mm-hmm. So it's really, to me, that's a good sign that people realize that you know, there's some benefit to doing that.
You're looking at different people now. Who do you think may be a good fit for the show?
One of the areas that I really wanted to get to were the people who run some of the bigger businesses mm-hmm. in the community. You know, in the old days, I'm old days, 70s and 80s. A lot of these bigger companies, you knew who the guy in charge was, and so you knew you had some connection to what was going on in all these different buildings. Today, I don't think most people have any idea who runs uh-huh. any of the companies here in town, or much about what do most of these companies do. I mean, we make so many intricate technological things right in this area, sure. And you might drive by the building every day that is making some product that is exactly the kind of field of work you want to be in, but you don't even know that it's made right uh-huh. here in your own community. And so I want to make people more aware of, you know, what goes on around here. And, you know, I always say that, you know, the train station here is a wonderful asset, but it works both ways.
Sure.
It shouldn't just take people to work in Providence and Boston. We should promote local business here and bring people from other communities to work here. You know, I mean, I believe we can develop the kind of industry that we did have 30, 40, 50 years ago. You know, we just need to be a little more aggressive in pursuing it. You know, times change. We're never going to be the sort of jewelry capital that we were 40, 50 years ago that helped my business thrive. But I really think that we can be a more technologically based community because, you know, technology requires a lot of little components that, when you think about it, are not that much different than some of the electronic and jewelry pieces that were produced here 40 years ago.
One of the last things to let you know, political aspirations down the line, hopefully?
I love serving public office and being able to help the community. More than likely, I will run for office again at some point in the future. I mean, I was one of the younger guys to get involved. So even though I've been doing this over 20 years, I'm right now sort of at the age that most people start to get involved in politics.
Right.
So, you know, if you ask me, do you think over the next 10 or 15 years that you'll probably run for office again? I would say, yeah, that the odds certainly are, because my experience has been people who love public service generally don't fade away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen in the past people who, you know, want to be involved and keep coming back. And, you know, I think government is a great thing. I really do. We make fun of a lot of our political leaders, but I really think that in general, most of them are good people, and I think they make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to be one of those people who makes a difference.
And then lastly, but first of all, I know that, you know, I've known you for a long time mm-hmm. as well. So continued success to you, and thank you for coming in. And
thank you for
your TV show, you think another person that may be your wife on the show?
Well, it's funny. A couple other people had suggested that, you know, with all the different experiences that she's had and been involved with, that she'd be a good guest.
Yeah.
And I think I might ask her to do that.
I think she'd say yes. I don't.
Well, she may say yes. She tends to be a little bit on the shy side,
yeah.
but she's certainly someone who has a huge amount of experience and skills. And you know, I mean, that's what sort of drew me to her was meeting her through Representative Lepper's office. And
he'd be a great guest to have down the line too.
Yeah, he's on the list of people that I'm hoping to line up. The problem is with having a weekly show.
Yeah.
Is that you can tape people, but it might not air for 2 months.
Yeah, right.
You know,
exactly.
And the idea of trying to make it a daily show is just not practical. I mean, there are enough people that you could have a good person on almost every day. It's just too much of a challenge to be able to produce
right.
a show daily.
Well, once again, thank you for coming down, and good luck in the near future with every your endeavors, including the TV show as well.
Thank you, Dominic. I appreciate it.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for yours truly. Have yourself a great day, and try to stay safe out there. Paul is next here on 1320. Have yourself a good weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday starting at 6:00.